Hello, this is Kendra Brodeen, founder and CEO of WomenLawyersOnline.com, and today I am so pleased to bring you Kim Howard. Kim practices in the area of tort and insurance litigation at Henderson Franklin Law Firm. More specifically, Kim concentrates her practice in the areas of construction and mold litigation, contract interpretation, premises liability, appellate work, and matters involving the Interstate Land Sales Act. Kim is admitted to practice in all Florida state courts, as well as in the United States District Court for the Middle District of Florida and the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. She also does Section 1983 work in federal court for governmental entities. In law school, she was appointed as a student member of the Florida Bar's Section on Corporate Taxation. Prior to moving to Florida, Kim worked for an accounting firm in Chicago. Kim is a member of Defense Research Institute, as well as the Lee County Bar, Lee County Women's Bar, and the Florida Defense Lawyers Associations. She's also a member of the Christian Chamber of Commerce. For her undergraduate degree, she graduated from the University of Central Florida in 1999 and received her law degree from the University of Florida with honors in 2002, the same year that she was admitted to the Florida Bar. So, Kim, I welcome you to the call today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so very welcome. I'm excited to have this conversation. Why don't we just jump in then to the questions, and I would love to just hear a little bit of your perspective as you look back on your own journey, both personally and professionally. I'm wondering if you always feel that, or looking back, that you might feel that you always had a bit of a work-life balance or a balance between the personal and the professional, or do you feel like there was a certain time in your life where something needed to change, a pivotal point, a critical place where you decided that something had to be different in order to help you feel that you were balancing personally and professionally?
Well, I used to think that I had a very good balance on my personal and professional life. And then 3 years ago, I became the foster mom to three children all at once. So that was a little bit of a change. I had a 6-year-old, and a 9-year-old, and a 12-year-old. And that caused me to reevaluate and to be better at my job. Previous to that, the work got done, and it took longer to get it done. Now having children, I tend to make sure that I keep everything in some type of planner and know everything that's going on so that nothing is a surprise to me. There's nothing that eats away your time than not being prepared for whatever it is, whether it be a play, projects that they need to complete at school, a brief that needs to be done for the 11th Circuit. So just organizing yourself and making sure that you have a list of a task or a good planner that you can look to and say, hey, you know, this is coming up. I need to have this done. There's a science project that needs to be due. I have an assembly this afternoon, but the brief is due tomorrow. You don't want to get yourself in a situation where you're waiting till the last day prior to something. So I have reevaluated the way I do things, you know, 3 years ago, and that made a pivotal change in how I do things.
Oh, I can only imagine adding three children to your family at once. So that would be an enormous, almost overnight change.
It was an overnight change, trust me. It was the change for the better, though. My life is so much more full, and I really enjoy my work, and I now have more of a personal life because of the children. I think it's very easy in this profession to get swallowed up by the job, and there's always going to be something that needs to be done, whether you could have made another phone call, you could have drafted another letter, so you could find yourself working from, you know, 7 a.m. till midnight and still have work to do. But if you don't, you know, take that time up for yourself and your family, you're not going to be any good to your clients or your firm.
I completely agree. And I just, when you're talking about bringing in those foster children into your home, and I'm an adoptive mom myself, and I know it's challenging, but it's also so enriching. And I mean, just knowing that about you, I want to applaud what you've done for those children, and I know that they've enriched your life as well.
Yes, they have, and the adoption should be final the end of the year. We're working on it now, going through the various procedures that you have to go through for the state. We've been through all of that. We're at the tail end. We can see the finish line.
Oh, that's so exciting. Oh,
very
I'm so excited. You know, it's sort of that community of adoptive moms. I'm so tickled for you. That's so exciting. Wow. Well, best of luck with hopefully a smooth process to get that completed.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay. Oh, I'm just happy for you. That's great. Well, Kim, what would you say then has been the biggest challenge or struggle? And maybe you alluded to it in your answer to the previous question, but what would you say has been your biggest struggle in trying to create that balance or juggle those competing interests?
I think the tendency when you're starting your law career is to just take on all that you can. You don't want to refuse work. You don't want a partner comes to ask you for something. You don't want to refuse it. And sometimes you get overburdened with work. And then your home life tends to suffer because then you can't, you know, do the homework with the children at night or go to the soccer games, or because you're overcommitted. I think the biggest struggle is knowing your limitations and knowing the time limit it's going to take you to complete the work that you need to complete. If you have 5 projects that are due in the next week, you might not be able to get to them. So I think to acknowledge that and maybe have a junior associate or have another associate assist you and be able to delegate work that can be done by others so that all of the work gets done in a timely fashion. The struggle that I have is time management sometimes. As with kids, you know, there are things that come up. They don't always tell you in advance that they have that project due on Friday. Sometimes it's Thursday afternoon, and they're telling you that we need the poster board, we need, you know, a volcano, we have to make that tonight. So you have to allow some time or some leeway. You can't be so structured that, okay, from, you know, 5:22 to 5:25, we're going to eat dinner. You know, you have to have some leeway, or else you'll just go crazy. Get to you, and I think, you know, you'll tend to burn out in this business and not want to do it for very long.
So there's a time management sort of struggle, yeah. And anticipating the unanticipated sometimes.
Yeah, it's difficult. But with children, I think as parents, you learn to do that. Mm-hmm. You're not so surprised by the, it's due Tuesday, but I knew about it for a month. So you're not so surprised by that anymore.
No, exactly. And I think for me, at least, I get to the point where when I don't plan in that buffer of time, I almost think, why didn't I plan it? I should have known better than to think this would all go smoothly.
Right.
Exactly. Well, on the flip side of that, what would you say has been your biggest lesson or teaching, something that maybe a philosophical or just a larger umbrella lesson that you would say along your path and your journey has been helpful to you in creating the personal, professional, work-life balance?
Well, I think that as part of your professional life, to have a successful professional life, you need to make sure that you're meeting the needs of your clients. And in order to do that, you need to know what those needs are. So I think you need to spend some time with your client on a non-billable time, like at lunch or finding out what they need. And I think you'll have a more successful practice if you're meeting the needs of your clients as opposed to just trying to bill them for whatever you can get so you can have your billable hours up. I think by creating that relationship, you will eventually bring in the money and the billable hours because you will be trusted and they will know that you have their best interests at heart. And if you have that successful professional life, your personal life, you will have more time to have a successful personal life, to have that relationship with family and friends and maybe a spouse or a significant other. I happen to be single at the time right now, but that's by choice. So I think that to be successful in both, you have to devote time to both. You can't give either your professional or your personal life the leftovers. So you need to structure it so that you're not, you know, you don't have too much personal life, so you're not cultivating your professional practice. And on the other side, you can't have kids that don't even know what you look like,
mm-hmm.
or a family that doesn't even know your name or can't remember the last time you threw a ball with them. So it's just a juggling act, and there are some days where you just have to work from 7 in the morning till midnight. I'm in litigation, so there are a lot of time-sensitive issues that come up. I can get a complaint from a client today that was served 19 days ago. the answers due today. Of course, you know, there are extensions, but there are, you know, emergencies where things need to be done. And on the other hand, there are times that you can take a day off and spend it with your family. So I think you need to make sure that you're not neglecting either for both to be successful.
That's sage advice. But wait, and I love how you put it, to make sure you're not giving either one the leftovers. So neither one feels like they're just, whatever you've got left is what they're receiving. But that they both feel like a priority.
And I think there's a third aspect to that. If you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of your clients or your family. So you also need to devote some time to your whatever it is that gives you joy, whether it be reading a book, whether it be exercising, whether it be a massage. You just need to make sure that you, just like you need to devote time to your practice and your clients, you need to also set aside time for yourself to rejuvenate yourself, to refresh yourself, so that you can give everybody, you know, what they need, as opposed to giving them leftovers.
Exactly. There is certainly those sort of a triad of serving your clients, serving your loved ones and your family, and serving yourself, taking care of yourself so that you do have that energy to go forward and be fully present and be as efficient and effective with your clients as you can be, and emotionally present with your family and loved ones.
Absolutely.
And also, I would love for you just to expound a little bit, because I think this is part of a shift that I think time has come to start thinking of serving our clients and really meeting their needs, and not just looking to reach our billables or to make a dollar, but build that relationship. And I love what you said about it, and I think there's a growing feeling among lawyers, among professionals in general, that the more we can focus on relationship building and serving and making sure our clients feel that we really have their best interest at heart and we want to see them get to the resolution that they're seeking, the more they will trust us. And you talked a little bit about that. I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit more, because I think it's an important way to think about serving others.
Absolutely. I think that you get your best source of clients from your current clients. If you're not making your current clients happy, they're not going to say to one of their friends, hey, I know this attorney that has done a, you know, bang-up job for me, whether it be an estate plan that they created for me, litigation they got me out of, a contract they corrected that could have cost me, whatever. But if you don't know the needs of your client, there's going to be somebody else pounding on their door asking them what it is they need. So it's very important that you make sure that you know what they need, because you cannot meet that need. You know, you may be doing a great job, but anybody can do a great job. There's another 1,000 attorneys probably in your city that can do a great job. I think it's creating that trust and, hey, I'm looking out for you, and some going above and beyond and doing things that aren't billable. Just spend time. Join organizations that they join. Visit blogs that they visit. Electronic media is very big now. Twitter, Facebook, that type of thing. If your client is, you know, going to these types of trade shows, you should go to those types of trade shows. See what is big in their industry. If they, you know, are gas station owners, or if they are, you know, product manufacturers, see what's going on in their area. What's the latest, newest thing in their area? And then you can maybe look for it, find newsletters. Like, I draft the company newsletter. We have a division newsletter. And I draft the newsletter and keep our clients appraised of recent decisions that may affect, mostly insurance carriers, like recent decisions that may affect their current caseload that they have, that may need to adjust their, you know, minimums that they have on the file. But just being proactive and getting them the decision, hey, this came down the wire today, might be interesting. You know, if you have any questions about it, give me a call, let's do lunch, something along those lines. But keep it plugged in with them. Even though that you might not be doing any work for them, give them a call. Hey, how are things going? Is there anything that I can do for you? Let's do lunch. Let's, you know, just keep connected. Because if you disconnect from your client and they have another issue come up and you haven't spoken to them in 6 months, you might not be the person they call. It might be the person they just ran into or met at their church or met, you know, at another function or at one of these organization meetings. And it may be one of those persons that they're going to call because they know or they think that that person is more plugged into what they need because here they are at their trade show.
It's brilliant. It's both important in terms of building one's practice, but also feeling that you're truly being of service too. I mean, it serves both and it benefits both. So, like you said, you remain top of mind in your client's mind or thought process as they're thinking about you as their attorney and as they're possibly making a referral, because you've been so diligent about following up, about checking in with them. I think it's lovely and always very effective just to send that newsletter or that email or that little note that really takes very little time but right. can make a huge impact and is very memorable, because in this day and age of the electronic age where everything is so quick and so impersonal, when you take the time to give something to someone just because you think they might be able to use it, it really elevates you and it does build that relationship.
And what also helps is my mind is not what it used to be, so I have a hard time remembering names sometimes. But if you have a little note, jot a little note down of the your client's child's name or grandchild or their spouse or something significant that's important to them. They're a Gators fan. They're a Seminoles fan. And, you know, just if you see something Seminole related here, I see your team's in the paper. They've done very well in basketball. Or, you know, just to keep connected with them so it's more of a personal relationship, because it's very hard to overcome the stereotype that lawyers have sometimes. I mean, everybody knows all the lawyer jokes. And so if you become more of a person to them, you know, that's capable and knows them and does their work, you know, quickly and efficiently, and they're more likely to come back to you and refer people to you.
Exactly, because they feel that connection and that you actually care. That, like you said, we kind of have a bad reputation as a profession, but when we can prove that we are in a service profession and our interest is in serving our clients and in helping them, and in even beyond that, like you said, that personal relationship, taking that moment to congratulate a person on a son or a daughter or an organizational success, something that right. shows that you care about them beyond the paycheck.
Right.
It does make you stand out.
Right.
Excellent advice. Thank you. So on top of that, I'm wondering if there's maybe two or three potentially more tactical yeah. strategies, things that maybe you've used, just like you said even earlier, a planner or being prepared. Are there ways of doing things or thinking about things that have served you that someone listening to this interview or reading the words of it might be able to implement quickly to make a difference in their lives?
Absolutely. There's a couple of things I try and do. I make a list of what I need to do that day, and I try and get in early and get the things done, make the phone calls or the hard phone calls that you have to make, because people tend to put off the hard phone calls if it's not good news to their client. You had an adverse hearing, the hearing didn't go well, or there was an adverse judgment, or something came up that's not good for you. People tend to put that call off. Make those hard calls in the morning. Get them done. Get that stuff done that you need to get done. Don't procrastinate, because what happens is your day gets away from you, and then it's 3, 4, 5 a week, and you haven't called that person again or called that person back. Return phone calls. That's very important. Clients like to know that they're important to you and that you're going to take time. I mean, there are times when you're in depositions all day and maybe jot down a phone call on your way home or, you know, after you've gone home. Hey, I was in depositions all day, so I got your message. I will call you on Tuesday when I'm back in the office. Something. Make a list of the things that you need to get done and make sure that you take time to do that. If it means putting your phone on Do Not Disturb and closing your door, if they need to get done, you need to get them done. You don't want that trailing into the night and then the next morning, and then you've neglected your personal time with your family that day or those 2 days. If you just, you know, buckle down and get it done, then, you know, you don't get sidetracked on all these little things that could get in the way of getting the things done. So those are the things that I try and do. I try and time manage and make sure that I have the time to do what I need to get done.
I think that's great advice and some very practical tips, especially well, all of them, but when you were talking about doing the hardest thing first, I completely agree. I think we try to push those things off sometimes because they're things that we don't want to deal with, and we think we'll get to them later. But in actuality, if we just, I think there's a book by Brian Tracy, I want to say, Eat That Frog First, or I think it might be him. But that, sort of that mentality of just do the ugly thing that you don't want to do, and then it's off your plate, and it's not, you know, niggling at you.
Those are the things that wake you up in the middle of the night.
Right.
Oh, I didn't call. You know, if you want to have a successful practice and be happy and fulfilled, get the things done you need to get done so it's not weighing on your mind and you're not, you know, rolling it over. What am I? When can I do this? I didn't get it done today. Can I get it done tomorrow? Just get it done. Just do the hard things first, and then the rest will come.
And the rest feels so easy. It's almost like that running a race with the weights on and then taking them off, and it feels so much easier. It's like running that race with that burden on your shoulders of the task that you know you don't want to complete. But when you remove that, then it's almost as if things feel so much lighter after that because it's not weighing on the back of your mind.
And there's another thing that I find sometimes I get in the trap of, like the last couple of days I've been, you know, in mediations and depositions, and there's a bunch of emails, and I want to get to them all at once, so I start one thing, I'll get a call, and I've got too many things going on at once, and I haven't completed one thing, but I've been working for an hour. And so you got to put things aside, put them in a pile, okay, put them in priority level. That priority is going to be on the top, and okay, this is what I need to do, and then I'll get to them when I get to them. Clients really rather you say, listen, I've recognized your issue, I've gotten your call. If it's something that needs immediate attention, absolutely do it immediately. If it's something that can wait a day or two, say, listen, you know, I hear you, I know what you need, I will call you Tuesday at 4:00 and we can discuss it. Something along those lines, but, you know, prioritize and don't try and do too many things at once because then you'll never get anything done.
That's brilliant. That's a brilliant way to think about getting things done because I think it is the temptation to multitask is, it's so tempting to think, oh, I can do these 14 things at once, especially as women. I think we sometimes think we're better at it than we actually are.
You know what? I think I'm guilty of it. Just yesterday I was guilty of it. I started to draft an email, and in my head that email was sent, and my secretary asked me about it. And I said, well, I copied you on the email. And she's like, I didn't get an email. And I look, and it was still in my drafts box. I never actually sent it because I got distracted with a phone call. And then, you know, one thing led to another, and it's the end of the day, and I still didn't send that out. So I'm guilty of it as well.
I think we all are because we see that long list and that big pile of things we need to do, and we think, oh, we can do all these at once. But if we can get in the practice, and it's such a great practice that you suggested of just focusing on one thing, you know, have that to-do list and then cross it off when it's done, but clear off your desk, clear out your mind, and focus on the one thing until it's absolutely complete, and then move on, you actually get a lot more done. But it's hard. I'm so guilty. I multitask constantly, and yet I know, I know it probably drags down my efficiency and possibly drags down my quality as well, like you said, where things slip by that because you're thinking about too many things at once.
Right. And I think it also helps you to put in perspective what you need to do. If you have that list and you've put it in priority and you know there's too many things on the top that need to get done that day and there's no possible way you're going to get to them, you have early in the morning you can delegate that to a junior associate or a fellow attorney to say, look, I need you to research this or send this letter out or draft this or, you know, prepare a motion to compel for me. It needs to be done by the end of the day. I mean, you can delegate that work out so it does get done so that you do fulfill your client's needs and still have a personal life.
Exactly. Oh, it's a wonderful way to focus. And also, just like you said, in terms of returning phone, it goes back to that service orientation, returning phone calls, and you suggested just even if you can't get to something, instead of letting yourself be diverted by something, by a project or something that comes in, let somebody know you'll get back to them, that you acknowledge the receipt, that you know it needs to be done, and that you'll get to it when you can get to it, giving them a timeline or a date to expect a call back or to set up an appointment. They feel cared for, and you haven't just suddenly thrown off your whole daily plan because something came in you didn't expect.
Exactly.
It's a great way to maintain both the service you suggested and your own boundaries around your time.
Right.
So So, Kim, is there anything else that you'd like to add? We're kind of wrapping up, but is there anything else you'd like to mention or thoughts you've had that you'd like to share?
I think we've covered it all. I've made some notes regarding the discussions that we had, and I think we've covered it all. I think everybody has their own balance that they need to reach. What works for me may not work for you, but there are some constants, like you need to make sure you're meeting your client's needs, however that may be. You may have a client that doesn't appreciate that short email saying, I'll get you when I get you, and you may need to drop everything for that client to make that client happy. I have a few clients that you need to handhold, and they want that, and you have to recognize that that's what they want, that's what makes them feel comfortable, and then maybe that project that you're working on, you can delegate it to somebody else so that you can take care of your client. So it's just everybody has a different situation and a different client list. So you just need to be able to adapt your work and personal life to fit your needs.
Exactly. Oh, wonderful. And like you said, it's just we're all different. We're all individuals, but there are some universal, more superseding truths that and ways of being. However we accomplish them,
yes.
If we can take care of ourselves, however that looks, if we can take care of our clients, however that looks, that's when we'll find a closer to a balance. We'll find that satisfaction knowing that it's getting done, however that looks. So
Yes. Thanks
for acknowledging the individuality of everyone and yet realizing that there are important things that all of us can do
right.
To better ourselves and better our practices. Kim, I'm just wondering if someone wanted to find out more information about you or how to connect with you, learn more about your services and the work that you're doing, how would they do that? How could they find out more?
Sure. We have a website. I work for Henderson Franklin Starnes and Holt PA in Fort Myers, Florida. We are the largest firm in Southwest Florida. We have about 55 attorneys. Our website is www.henlaw.com. And my name, of course, is Kim Howard, and my email address is kim.howard@henlaw.com. On our website, you can link to, we have various departments that handle all aspects, all areas of law, and we have various newsletters and email and blogs. You can contact us or shoot me an email if you have any specific questions that you have about anything. I'll be happy to help.
Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, Kim, with that, I'd like to thank you once again for being here today and being a part of these interviews. You've added so much, and I appreciate your time and the wisdom you've shared.
You're welcome.
Well, with that, we'll conclude this call. I want to thank everyone for being here and listening or reading these words. I hope you've gleaned something of truth that you can implement to make your life and your practice better. And until next time, this is Kendra Brodine wishing you success always and in all ways. Thank you for being here. Bye-bye.